It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we're going to have some great conversations. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. There's all kinds of great information there. We've got new podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, as well as very important op-eds there. In fact, take a look at Pam Long's op-ed that we posted yesterday. She was on the show regarding the COVID data here in Colorado. Very important piece. If you want to reach me, it's Kim at KimMunson.com as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking with John Kellner. He is a candidate for district attorney. That would be for Arapaho, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. And then Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, oil analyst, investment bankers. We're going to get an update on the oil markets in segments 3 and 4. And be sure and go to the website and check out Headlines for Hope. I am telling the story of Jody Lander, World War II D-Day veteran. A paratrooper jumped in behind enemy lines on D-Day, as well as at Operation Market Garden in Holland later that year. And we're in part 6. These are pretty fascinating stories about Jody Lander, correct? Producer Steve?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one thing to generalize and talk about Normandy and the D-Day invasion, but to hear a firsthand account from a guy who parachuted in and then was on the ground doing a lot of different things that you're going to hear in these podcasts, it just grabs your imagination by the throat.
And so what I've done is I actually have had the honor to interview Jody on a couple of different occasions. And so I'm basically taking that interview and breaking it down into 3-minute snippets and transcribing it. And they're fascinating stories. So if you want to be inspired just by humans stepping up and having courage, be sure and tune into those because they are really awesome. As we are looking at these issues, my friends, we need to put our thinking caps on. Rudyard Kipling says, I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And Rudyard Kipling wrote The Jungle Book. That is what we need to be looking at these things. If, quote unquote, the experts say something, we need to ask, you know, what is the data? You know, is there a motivation? There's all kinds of different things that we need to be asking.
Is that person qualified to be an expert?
True. And this data, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about this whole COVID-19 thing. Of course, they're going after Trump big time. He didn't do enough. He did do, you know, we were faced with something that we didn't know. And even with Governor Polis, we didn't know. And so immediate action needed to be taken, but it needed to be measured and it needed to have leadership attached to that. And I think that President Trump, I mean, this is unprecedented, what he is being faced with. And so many times, Steve, when we have a crisis, you really see the character of your, I don't really want to call them leaders, but of your elected representatives and also bureaucrats. You see their character. And the big question on the table is are they staying within the confines of the U.S. Constitution, first of all? Are they being measured in their response? Are they looking for solutions, or are they using the crisis to really, you know, have a heavy hand to take more and more power? And so when we go back to what Rudyard Kipling says, to ask what and why and when and how and where and who, you know, those are some of the things how we frame what we're looking at there. So let's continue on. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we see fear is being used to take force and force to have control over our lives. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And my friends, if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to persuade them with good ideas. And so that's why we are looking at all these important issues. Always like to say thank you to this great team, to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all that you do, and to each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence, be industrious, do something productive, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. One thing that I wanted to mention, Steve, before we get to the other thing that we wanted to talk about, and that is that YouTube video that you had mentioned to me. Somebody had sent it to me a couple of different times. It was about an hour, and some doctors out in California, and they're just really looking at things very measured. And I watched half of it. It was an hour long. It's like, okay, I'll go back and watch the other half. Guess what, Steve? They took it down.
Yes, they did. I sent a link to another family member. She was kind of slow in getting to it. Her response was, it's gone. And I thought, that can't be. I went in and looked for it, and sure enough, I got this goofball message back from YouTube that it was taken down because it violated their community standards. And I thought, what the heck does that mean? Another person, you know, who was watching what was going on said, oh, wait a minute, I got to it, and I pulled up the link that he had sent, and I quickly noticed that it was only half the length. It went from 52 minutes down to 25 minutes, and it offered you the chance to see the full video. So when you click on that, then again, you get the warning message about the community standards being violated. So what's going on here?
So if something is a good idea, it should be able to stand the scrutiny of people talking about it. And so you ask what this is? This is censorship. This is what this is. This is censorship. And you do not have censorship in free societies. This is a very dangerous thing that is happening right now, Steve.
Well, the head of, I don't know what her title is, but the operating head of YouTube quickly was put on the hot seat and asked, what's going on here? Not just this video, but several other ones that are disappearing. And her response was, well, if it goes against the World Health Organization, their recommendations, then we pull it down.
And speaking of that, you know, we've done these podcasts that, again, you can find at my website, kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sounding off with Kim Munson, we are doing, it's becoming a series with Dr. Jill Vecchio. And there's one regarding the World Health Organization, the WHO. And the WHO has, even though the United States has been one of the major funders to the WHO, it actually is parroting China's narrative. And so here then, just connecting the dots, you've got YouTube saying if it does not adhere to the WHO, which is parroting China, and we now know, you know, this whole thing came out of China, possibly from a man-made situation there at the labs in Wuhan. If in fact somebody is going against what the WHO is saying, and YouTube is taking it down, that's pretty darn scary, Steve.
It is, and especially if you saw a portion of it. These guys are just laying out factual information from their own experiences and the data they're collecting. And right from the get-go, based on something you had said earlier, they're not pointing a finger at how all this started in terms of government interfacing it. There just wasn't enough information. But now they have seen enough of their own data that tells them, as experienced, I'm not going to try to say that word about immunization and the experts, microbiology is saying, wait a minute, the data is not going that way. The data is going the other direction.
And so, and what is the situation there is, then the data is not supporting these draconian measures that these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are using to keep our economy shut down. And so one has to ask, why on earth would they be censoring that unless they want to keep the economy shut down? And one would say, why do they want to do that? How many people are hurt when that happens? But let's continue on. For our inspiration, I went to St. Augustine. He lived from 354 to 430 A.D. And he says, God provides the wind, but man must raise the sails. And to that point, we need to get active. We need to start to contact our city councils, our mayors, our county commissioners, and also the governor and say, we need to get this state opened back up so people can go after their livelihoods. It's never compassionate to shut down people's livelihoods. It's never compassionate to take their freedom, to take their life, their liberty via force. And so we need to, each one of us, start to reach out. And every day, be posting on the Facebook sites for these different cities and counties to say, let's get this state opened back up. And then, okay, Steve, I know you're excited about the joke.
Excited? I don't know. I just think maybe we need to put a disclaimer up front that says, please don't tune to another station. But go ahead.
Okay. An art thief once stole some very expensive paintings from the Louvre in Paris. He took two Van Goghs, a couple of Monets, and a Degas, and some other paintings. Everything went perfectly, except he was captured sitting in his van with the paintings only two blocks from the museum. His van had run out of fuel. When asked by the police how he could plan such a successful robbery and then be foiled by such a simple error, he replied, I had no Monet to buy Degas to make the Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Okay. Very quickly, I know we're getting close on time here, but Dennis Prager wrote a very important piece that we need to chat about just a little bit. And that is, he says, this is our dress rehearsal for a police state. He said all his life he has dismissed the paranoids on the right that America is headed to communism and the left, it can happen here, referring to fascism. It's not, he said, it's not that he ever believed liberty was guaranteed, being familiar with history and a pessimist regarding the human condition. But he said the ease with which this police state tactics have been employed and the equal ease with which most Americans have accepted them has been breathtaking. And he had four different points here. He said there's draconian laws depriving citizens of our elementary civil rights, such as going to work and earning a living, meeting in groups, both indoors and outdoors, meeting in our cars in a church parking lot to pray, and entering state-owned properties such as beaches and parks. So we have many of these things prohibited. Then he says, a mass media supportive of the state's messaging and deprivation of rights. We just gave an example with YouTube. The use of police. This is putting our police officers in very difficult situations. Police departments throughout America have agreed to enforce laws and edicts with what can only be described as frightening activity. A police officer called his show, explained that the police have no choice, that they have to respond to every dispatch they receive. And then lastly, this is what's really serious, Steve, is snitches. People calling in and being encouraged to call in to their different health departments or police departments to tattle on other people, just other people that are exercising their civil rights. And so this is a very important piece that Dennis Prager has done. And that is why, my friends, we have got to get busy here, because as Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from being extinct. And it is right here, right in front of us right now. We need to make sure that we preserve our freedom. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with John Kellner. He is a candidate for the district attorney for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. And we'll be talking about keeping our communities safe. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663 or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Recaps and podcasts of the shows can be found there. You just click on each recap, and that gives you all the information, as well as our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and then, of course, our Headlines of Hope. We've been telling the story of Jody Lander, World War II paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne jumping into Normandy, France, behind enemy lines on June 6, 1944. Fabulous story. So be sure and check that out. On the line with me is John Kellner, and he is running for district attorney for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. And these races are so important, and keeping our community safe is so important. So, John Kellner, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate you having me on.
So tell us, first of all, why you are stepping forward to run for DA for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties.
Sure. So just so everybody knows, those four counties, they fall under the 18th Judicial District. That's, frankly, one of the largest, most populated judicial districts in the entire state. The current DA, who many of your listeners probably know, is George Brockler. He is backing my run to be his successor because he is unfortunately term limited. This race is just so important because, as you just mentioned, you know, the district attorney has so much responsibility for the daily safety and public safety of everybody in our community. And when we're looking at a district like ours, it has over a million people in it, ranging from the most diverse city that we have really in our state, in Aurora, out to rural areas like in Lincoln and Elbert. It just presents so many different challenges. So I am actually George Brockler's chief deputy DA in charge of three of our four counties, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln. And before that, I was the chief deputy, one of the chief deputies in Arapahoe, and ran our cold case unit and the felony prosecution team. So I'm doing this because, you know, my kids go to school in this community. I have worked to serve this community for years, and I care about what happens. It's not a something I'm doing for fun because political ambitions. It's because the DA has a direct hand on the tiller of public safety, and it's just too important to give up to people that have radical ideas to change that. I'm really proud of what we've done in the DA's office and really looking forward to doing more.
Okay, well, let's change gears just a little bit then. Now that we're going through this coronavirus disruption, what are you seeing regarding crime trends?
Well, crime trends, that's a really good question. You know, one of the big concerns we have right now is what's happening with domestic violence, because what we've seen with coronavirus is that there's a little less active policing going on. You don't see as many people getting pulled over. So there's a lot less people on the roads. And you don't see as many contacts with police, with people on the streets, because, of course, they're practicing social distancing, and there's just a lot less people out. So we're really concerned about this sort of cauldron, if you will, of domestic violence victims, you know, being locked in a place with somebody who might be abusive to them, and not being out in the community in a way that other people can ask what's going on. You know, are you in trouble? Or mandatory reporters, even, not coming in contact with victims. So that's a stat we haven't yet been able to put our thumb on because we don't know what's out there. But just from our own experience, we're really concerned about that. There's some other things too. So interestingly, as you can imagine, there's a little dip right now in crime because there's all this social distancing going on. But we're seeing a huge increase in auto thefts of all things. So I mean, in just maybe the last 6 weeks, we've gone from an average in the metro area of around 211 a week up to 337, 340 You're talking about a nearly 60% increase in auto thefts. And, you know, you have to wonder, where does that lead and why is that happening?
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
So, well, you know, there's some theories out there. Obviously, we can't yet test. But a lot of us are concerned because of many of the changes that have happened with bail right now. So if people get arrested, typically they're going to show up in court. They're going to see a judge. A judge is going to say, okay, I'm going to release you. Here's the conditions of your release. For instance, you've got to have some monitored sobriety. Maybe you've got to have check-ins with a pretrial officer, somebody who's basically keeping tabs on you. Very little of that is happening right now in the normal way that we would do it. So what's happening right now is officers, when they come in contact with people, are typically giving them a summons. So a piece of paper that says, hey, in a couple months when this is over, you got to show up to court. And I think that that's some of the more low-level criminal activity that we would typically see processing through the system on a regular basis. Those folks are not seeing a judge on a regular basis. They're not seeing pretrial supervision like they normally would. So I'm concerned that's leaving them out on the streets to kind of commit these, you know, increasing car thefts of all things, which, as you can imagine, Kim, you know, somebody who might be working an essential job right now, mm-hmm. how difficult that would be to find out from your garage or from your driveway or your apartment complex, now your mode of conveyance, your car is gone. How are you going to get to your grocery store if you need it? How are you going to go to your essential job if you have to?
Wow. That's so interesting that auto theft is up. What about burglaries? Are you seeing any trends on that, John?
Yeah, so the stats are still coming in for the first quarter as we just finished that up. I know in the Denver area, Denver has seen, as I recall, something close to a 30 or 34% increase in burglaries. And I had read that that was driven in large part by marijuana break-ins, you know, to dispensaries, which is a place that, as you know, is a large cash industry. So it's always susceptible to, you know, burglaries and break-ins. But that is what we're hearing. That's what we're seeing anecdotally, is that we've got an increase in property crimes as well.
Okay, and with this whole COVID-19 disruption and people that, you know, having unemployment, people losing their jobs, what do you see going into the summer? Do you think that we're going to see an increase in crime?
Yeah, going into the summer, it's really tough to tell. You know, if you look back at the Great Recession, and I was a prosecutor in the Marine Corps at the time before going into become a prosecutor on the civilian side in Colorado. You know, there was a change in crime, but you can't necessarily say it comes just because of the economy going down. A lot of that stems from changes in budgets to things like law enforcement, you know, departments, police departments getting cut budgets. That's really what I'm concerned about as we head into this long stretch of a potential economic downturn because of all the, you know, restrictive lockdowns. You know, how is that going to impact the budgets for our local communities and their police departments? Because less police out policing typically leads to increased crime. But if you go even farther back, you know, to statistics, which is hard to maintain, I would say, for, you know, the Spanish flu pandemic, they saw massive violent crime increases in that time. So crossing our fingers that we're not going to come across, you know, that sort of violent crime spike. But generally speaking, in the summer, Kim, we do see an increase in violent crimes regardless. So it could be brewing for a perfect storm.
Well, or imperfect storm, if you will, John Kellner. I really think we need to come up with good plans to get us back to work. We're just about out of time, but how can people get more information about you, John Kellner?
Well, thanks, Kim. First of all, go to my website. It's www.johnkellner.com. That's johnkellner.com. You can check us out on Facebook at John Kellner DA or follow me on Twitter at John Kellner CO, so John Kellner Colorado. And you can check us out on Instagram as well.
Well, thank you so much for stepping forward. These are such important races. And so certainly go to johnkellner.com and to be sure and help John out. John, thanks so much. And we're going to be doing a regular rotation with you DA candidates so that we can keep people informed about what's going on regarding keeping our communities safe. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Take care.
You bet. Okay, we're going to go over now to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason McBride, how are you doing on this Wednesday morning?
I'm sorry, Mr. Jason McBride is tardy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, 30 lashes with a wet noodle on that one.
Yes.
So
you're stuck with me.
Okay, so, well, I'm sure he'll be here in just a minute then. Yes. I probably surprised him just a little bit. So while we're waiting for Jason McBride, let's just mention one other thing here. And that is after our Dennis Prager piece that we talked about regarding that we're headed towards police state. You know, I remember, and I brought this up several months ago. I was going around the corner down here in Douglas County, and we have this new Southeast Light Rail station. And as I was coming around, I saw it. There was the transit police. And I kind of questioned myself. This was long before this whole COVID-19 thing, but I'm thinking, wait a minute. We have a transportation entity, RTD, that now is part of a police state. And I thought that is very odd. And once again, I felt that was a bit of an overreach on the police state, if you will. Now, certainly we want to keep our community, safe, as we were just talking with John Kellner. But we don't want to have, we want to have policing, but we don't want to have a police state. And they're two totally different things. So let's go ahead and go on over to Jason McBride. I surprised you this morning. I went a little early to you, Jason McBride.
Yeah, and it was on a day I almost forgot to call you. I was so interested in your guest and what you were talking about. I became entranced and forgot I was supposed to call in.
Well, I'm glad that we're that interesting, Jason McBride. So tell me, what's going on? What's going on for the market?
Oh, gives us the report, do you buy that, Kim?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. If he was my child, I would say you're grounded. You are grounded. So there you go, Jason.
Oh, so I don't have to get up early for, 2 weeks?
No, you do have to get up early. So, because we want to know what happened yesterday with the market.
Okay, well, it was kind of a day of giving back the gains, Kim. We started off very strong early in the day, and then it kind of faltered, and we gave back the gains and ended up just slightly negative pretty much across the board. The Dow was down about 32 points for the day after being up almost 400. So that's not ideal. It's not exactly what you'd like to see. But, Kim, I didn't hear any specifics, bad news, anything unexpected that actually occurred. I think we just ran into a bout of good old-fashioned profit-taking. When you look at the indexes, they've moved up pretty darn strongly off of the bottom. After dropping down, we've seen a rally of about 30%. So, yeah, people are going to take some gains when they get them that mm-hmm. quick, and I don't blame them. I would, too.
Yeah, in this crazy time, this disruption, it probably makes some sense. So if people want more information about this whole CARES Act, I know that I'm trying to get I've had really wonky internet during this time, so I was trying to get to our landing page together just to describe exactly what you have there. So you're going to have to tell them because I can't get it and get it pulled up here.
No problem, Kim. So the CARES Act made several changes to retirement accounts, mostly just, you know, for temporary to offer assistance, changed, withdrawal provisions. It waived RMDs for this year. If you've already taken one, in some cases you can put it back in. Offered more access to retirement accounts without penalty to get all the provisions and the important things that we've put together that are in that CARES Act, Kim. People can go to our website, airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Or give us a call, 303-694-1600 if you have questions for or would like to speak to one of our fine advisors.
Okay, well, fantastic. Again, that's airpresidential.com. Phone number over there is 303-694-1600. And so tomorrow morning, I expect you to be right on time.
Okay, I expect you to be right on time, too.
There you have it. So, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great show. Bye-bye.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. They're an energy investment bankers. We'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Well, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. MONSON.com. The podcasts of the shows are there. And what you do is you just go and click on that recap, the picture there, and that'll bring you up and it'll have the podcast of the show right there. And then we've got this great new podcast we're doing, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. We'll be recording a couple new ones this week as well. So check that out. And then this story that we're telling of Jody Lander, just a Texas boy, young guy, jumped in behind enemy lines on D-Day, June 6, 1944, and it's just a fascinating story. We hope to have Tom Petrie on the line here in just a moment. Steve, you'll be happy to know Patty, you know, she's always on it. She just sent me an email that the video that we were talking about that you had sent to a family member, and by the time she got there, YouTube had taken it down. She said, Britt Hume has put the complete video up on Twitter, and that, in fact, there was a television station that filmed it, the TV station's version. So even though they're trying to censor it, there is another way to see that. So that's good to know. But, boy, am I disappointed on this whole censoring thing that's going on. So with that, okay, changing gears again. Tom Petrie's on the line. You know him. He's been on a regular basis here. He is with Petrie Partners, his company, and it's an investment banking firm in the energy sector, and he is very knowledgeable on what's going on. Tom Petrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Sorry to be late. Let's go.
let's hit it. So, boy, it is so important to have affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. And I think we've really taken that for granted as Americans, Tom Petrie. And while we are in this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption, so many people are home. And I have to tell you, it's really great to have energy to be able to make our lives go, if you will. And I think we've taken it for granted, and I am appreciating it more and more. But with this COVID-19 disruption, we've seen a reduction in demand for oil and gas at the same time that the Saudis and the Russians decided that they were going to play chicken. And it has created just a real disruption in our oil markets. So have I set that up pretty well?
You have. You have indeed. I think we are in the process of deepening our appreciation for the importance of clean, reliable energy. It is being impacted by the coronavirus in a pretty severe way, and that's likely to continue for another quarter or two. I expect that this is so severe an impact that even for Saudi Arabia and Russia, sub-20 oil is not a desired outcome. And having lowered expectations now in Western markets the way they have, it wouldn't surprise me. It's not a prediction, but within the range of possibilities with an upcoming May 10th OPEC meeting, the opportunity to begin to change those perceptions by those two countries could be there. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, and even after it happens, there's going to be an understandable market skepticism about how durable it'll be. But I think we've had an overdose of the negative at this point. It is going to adversely affect second and I suspect third quarter results. But I also think we may be on, I would be surprised if we're not on the mend before Labor Day.
Oh, that would be great. Now, we have, I guess, in a way, a glut. I mean, we have an oversupply right now of oil. And so is our strategic oil reserves, are they full now?
They're very close to full. About 10 days ago, there was a notional 300 million. The SPR can hold 1 billion barrels. And so we were at 700 million barrels. But getting to the actual topping off at a full billion is probably a challenge. And I think the rate of fill is such that we will be pretty full there sometime in May. And the rest of the commercial storage will happen sooner in Cushing, Oklahoma, and other commercial stocks that we have. So the experience we had a week or so ago of negative at the time that you turn over the hedging numbers on the CME, we ended up with rather dramatic negative numbers, and you can't rule out that happening at least one more time.
So, and when would that happen exactly, Tom Petrie?
It happens just as we make the turnover, and it was, as I say, about a week ago. So we got a couple more weeks at least before it's likely to show up. But it wouldn't be a shock to have it happen again, given that we're so far below $20 a barrel now. I think we had just broken below there about the last time we talked. So the supply-demand picture doesn't get better until we start to open up. And we are starting to open up. But as you hear with all the talk about how we'll do it on a phased basis, it's not like flipping a light switch. It's going to take, I think it'll take a good chunk of the quarter we're now in for us to get to that level of opening up where we're back in a positive supply-demand picture here in the U.S., and globally, it may take a little longer than that because the impact on some of the economies of the rest of the world is even more severe than what we've seen.
Okay, so Tom Petrie, when we've had our independent oil producers and we've become oil independent or energy independent, I mean, that was a really amazing thing to happen because, you know, back in, what was it, the 70s or 80s when we were dependent on OPEC, it was, you know, very difficult from a strategic standpoint for America. But now that oil is so low, I'm so concerned about our independent oil producers right here in the region.
It is a concern. Last time we talked about the Whiting bankruptcy, and certainly there's severe stress for a number of other independents. In other cases, in many other cases, they've got a little more runway, a little more time before that gets to be an unmanageable proposition. But this is one of those situations where there's a certain first-mover advantage to restructuring balance sheets. And so you can't rule out several more occurring. I do think there's going to be a healthy reconstruction that comes out of all of this. But that healthy reconstruction involves a degree of pain because some degree of consolidation to achieve better levels of scale in the upstream function of producing oil is going to be important. And, our capital markets are so facile and so responsive to opportunity that, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, we can now see that the doubling and in some cases tripling of players in some of the basins was almost too much competition, somewhat ruinous and somewhat destabilizing for margins. But the restoration of that process is now underway, and I think a year from now we'll look at this and realize there's been a healthy reconstruction during the process, albeit with a lot of pain.
Yeah, there will be a lot of pain. And, you know, thinking about this, Tom Petrie, who would have ever dreamed that the Saudis and the Russians would start to play chicken at the same time that we would have this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption that would eliminate so much demand for energy because we were closing down these economies? I mean, who would have ever dreamed that that would have happened?
It's an incredible coincidence, and therefore, you know, the way I describe it is it's not just the impact of one or the other. When you get two of these calamitous events, once in a century type events, you've got calamity squared, and that's what we've been dealing with. I do think once we've taken out some of the excess production and begin to restore the consumption, the return to a healthy producing position is going to be there. We're not going back to where we were a decade ago at 6 million barrels a day. The downside test for the U.S. is, I think, from almost 13 million barrels a day down to a level that's probably about 11 million barrels a day, plus or minus 10%. But that's a pretty healthy correction. By the time it's run that course, the other self-correcting forces that are out there in terms of restored global growth will be kicking in. And frankly, neither Russia nor Saudi Arabia wants the long-term solution to be anywhere near where the price of oil is today. So they're going to find themselves co-opted into organizing global production to a degree and leading global production in a way that begins to cure this oversupply problem. But we need both the restoration of economic growth and some supply constraint in order to get there in a reasonably timely way.
Okay, so Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. Let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk a bit more about, I'd like to know what you think about policy that, in fact, will we have to maybe have our government step in and do some help on this to kind of stabilize these markets. So let's go to break and we'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Yes, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out that website. It's Kim Munson, that's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you just heard the spot for Hooters restaurants. Today is Wednesday, and Wednesdays are Wings Day at Hooters restaurants. If you buy 20 wings, you can get 10 for free. So go to order.hooters.com and order those. You can stop by and just pick them up curbside, and they are pretty delicious. My favorite is the Texas barbecue rub on those wings. So be sure and check that out. And on the line with me is Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. They're energy investment bankers. And we're talking about our energy markets. And certainly affordable, reliable, and efficient energy is something that has powered our lives, that everyday people can thrive and prosper. And of course, we've seen this big disruption because of the Saudis and the Russians playing chicken, if you will, on supply, as well as the Wuhan COVID-19 disruption. And so it's really been tough on these markets. So Tom Petrie, it's always great to have you on the show. I'm concerned about our oil producers. We talked about our independence here, and I want to just make it a little bit more personal. I know so many people. I have friends that are in the oil and gas industry, and I'm really concerned about their livelihoods and what is happening here. Can you comment a bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, you know, one way to measure, you know, we know it's a cyclical business. But one way to put in perspective what we're living through right now is that in the drilling activity, the laydown of rigs this time around in a six-week period exceeds what was laid down after the Thanksgiving surprise of 2014, late in 2014, Russia and Saudi decided to go for market share that time. It lasted about 9 months, but it took about 8 months for the 6 to 8 months for the laydown of a comparable number of rigs. So this time it was like a tornado hitting, not a hurricane, and that's why it's so severe. From a policy standpoint, the administration has done a lot to deregulate certain parts of the industry and help a lot. At this point, I think the main thing that could be somewhat helpful would relate to what they can do to facilitate more creative solutions in storage. The ability, rather than having the U.S. spend money to buy oil, renting the space in the SPR for independents who would like to put their oil there might be an out-of-the-box solution. It isn't a panacea. I'm afraid there are no panaceas right now. But the big thing will be, if we're as successful as they hope to be with this phase rollout, then it does appear that a fair amount of healing of activity in the economy is going to occur. We just had the first quarter GDP number. It was down 4.8%. Second quarter will be down quite a bit more. There's only about two and a half weeks of adverse impact from the coronavirus in that first quarter, but clearly we've had a lot more in April, and we're heading into May right now with more impact. So second quarter is going to be a challenge, but the markets are beginning to look beyond that, and third quarter should see some good recovery. Certainly we've heard that from the Secretary of the Treasury, and I think there's a basis for it. It's not just hope on his part, and then I think second half further recovery should begin to heal us, and the market forces that have been triggered by all this are in themselves somewhat helpful. As I said, one of the things the U.S. is not doing now is bringing on more oil for more drilling. It's a shocking adverse impact, but it is sufficient to not make the situation worse than it already was. And that gives me some optimism as I start thinking about third and fourth quarter, and then comparisons in the first half of next year versus this year will become quite a bit more favorable.
Okay. And you reference the SPR. Now, is that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? Is that what that stands for?
That's right. Okay. Yes, thank you for defining it.
Okay.
It's down in Louisiana, in the salt domes of Louisiana.
Okay. Well, so for us laymen, I have to ask those questions. Let's talk a little bit about policy. You know, the energy industry, the oil and gas industry, from a policy standpoint, there's always been risks with regulations. We see this, you know, in different states. We've seen here in Colorado legislation that's been put forth that's been very difficult for the oil and gas industry. What do you see as we move out of this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption? Do you think there'll be a change, or do you have a crystal ball on that, Tom Petrie?
Well, I don't know if I have a crystal ball, but I do believe politicians of both parties are beginning to realize how important this sector is. And if they want to have a record going into an election year, an election at the end of this year, certainly beginning to address the headwinds that are out there that are will be important. This is a sector where a big part of the unemployment that we're seeing is occurring in this sector, along with a number of other consumer sectors. But this is one that really will need to get back to recovery, because it has important implications for our balance of payments, for our overall economic health. And I think the awareness of that is showing up with a lot of the politicians of both parties. This president was running on a record 2 months ago, where the economy was still in great shape, and this was an important part of it. And obviously, a big change has occurred, but the desire to get back to something more like what we had last year is going to be pretty high, and I think opponents to doing that are going to have to think twice, especially in the election year.
Well, and so we talked about this industry, and unemployment is pretty significant right now. But, and we talked a little bit about policy, but do you think that everyday people are starting to kind of, things that we've taken for granted, I guess that's where I'm at, things that we've taken for granted, going to the store and having shelves full of goods and products that we have, you know, all kinds of choices to make, affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. Do you think this has been a wake-up call for everyday people to kind of take another look at the things that we should be grateful for?
I do. But I think the other side of that is, to some degree, there'll be elements of what we've been living through with the use of Zoom technology to have meetings and not necessarily travel to all meetings. And all of that will be coming on. Some of that is going to stay as part of the pattern of behavior. So we've got to be careful about expecting a V-shaped recovery as the most likely. And one way to think of that is V-shape could be just two V's together, which makes a W. And in the ranching community, a lazy W is down to the right. And you know, it's not automatic that this recovery is going to be as much of a V-shape as some have talked about. But I do think there'll be healthy corrections, and I think there'll be new degrees of innovation. Innovation is what made this industry. It took a 6 million barrel a day producer in 2005, 2006, and turned it into one of the three largest producing oil countries in the world. And that innovation has not been snuffed out. In fact, if anything, the price competition that we've had here because of these recent events involving both Russia and Saudi Arabia are encouraging even more innovation to be more effective at a lower break-even price. That was a lesson coming out of 2015's decline, and if anything, it's underscored in the industry for how we'll deal with 2020, 2021, and the first half of the next decade.
Well, and your point of creativity and innovation, I think you're referring to horizontal drilling as well as hydraulic fracturing. Is that correct, Tom Petrie?
Yes, and all the supportive technologies for that, which involve a lot of interpretation of the fracking methods and technologies and so on, and the learning curve we've had to become an ever more efficient producer of clean energy.
Well, and that has really been one of the beauties about the whole American idea. And that is, and as people, I think there's a lot of folks that are scared regarding this whole disruption, and it is very disruptive. However, we need to remember as Americans, well, as human beings, with creativity and innovation, we can address any of these problems. Tom Petrie, we've got about a minute left. What's your final thought for everyone?
Well, I think it's going to be important to look beyond the very near term. The headlines here are going to stay mixed at best, but the forces of regeneration and addressing the challenges are already lining up in a way where I feel we'll get this behind us. 2020 will take, it'll take a good part of this year with corrective actions to get back on path, but I think a year from now, moving forward, we'll be back in a position that is much more like what we had before. And there's no doubt in my mind, both Russia and Saudi Arabia need and want prices that are more than double, more than triple today's levels. I don't think we're going back to $60 or $65 a barrel, but I also don't think we're going to stay at today's levels much longer.
Okay, well, Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. And our quote for today is Saint Augustine. He says, in the absence of justice, what is sovereignty but organized robbery? So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you. And God bless America. Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.